We continue our study in the parables of our Lord. Jesus used many different methods in teaching. And one of those was by parable. In fact, this was probably his favorite method, or one of his favorite methods of imparting moral and spiritual values to those that listen to him. These are down-to-earth stories. My definition for a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Actually, it means to throw alongside of. 16 of the 38 parables of Jesus are concerned with stewardship. Stewardship of material blessing, possessions. The scriptures actually mention faith and prayer, at least in one of the translations, some 500 times each. Material possessions are discussed nearly 1,000 times in the Bible. I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. In the scriptures here, in the context, a man asked Jesus to bid his brother divide the inheritance with him. And Jesus responded with a parable, with the story of the foolish rich man who laid up treasures for himself but was not rich toward God, according to the words of the parable, Luke 12 and 21. And then when his fields brought forth plentifully, he reasoned, I will build bigger barns. I'll pull down my barns that I have, and I'll build greater barns. He said to himself, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But in our lesson tonight, we want to look at this man's life and look at some mistakes that he made in his life. Let's read these verses, Luke 12:13-21. One of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he's speaking to, I guess primarily to his disciples, which are in this group. He said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. So this man just asked this question, and Jesus brought up the subject of covetousness because he felt that that was the subject that needed to be covered based on the question asked of this man. So he said, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And with that background, he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself. One thing that I notice as I look at this parable, at least in the King James, and I guess would be the other translations too, is the number of times the word I, me, or mine appears. This fellow has eye trouble. He thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thy food, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Then he concluded, So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Luke 12:13-21, the parable of the rich fool. Just something about this man. Not much is said. You almost have to read between the lines to see something about it. He evidently was a wealthy farmer. And if any of you have done any farming in the past, or if your folks did farming, you know that it's hard work. It's very difficult to make a living farming. And it's getting more and more difficult these days. So this man had wealth, but nothing indicates that he gained his wealth in a dishonorable way. There's nothing there that would suggest that. And nothing to suggest that he was a miser. He spent money and he built bigger barns. And likely he provided jobs and work for whoever he hired to build those barns. And we can't fault him for saving his goods. But he had the large crops, so he needed to put those up and place them in barns rather than let them go bad. So nothing indicates this man was not a good provider, a good family man, a good citizen, a good neighbor. But that's just what I see about the man. That's just what on the surface I see about the man. But God evaluated him and evaluated him a little bit different. For this man, God could see right into his heart. He was thinking totally of himself. And while this man was basking in his prosperity and in his dreams, his idea, I'll put everything in my barn and then I've got it made, I can retire. I'm sure this farmer didn't think of himself as foolish, though God said, "Thou foolish one," Luke 12 and verse 20. In fact, I would think that this farmer would be patting himself on the back. He'd be patting himself on the back so much he'd probably break his arm, thinking that he had done a great thing. He thought probably he was a good businessman, very wise. But sometimes if we gain material possessions, they have a way of distorting our vision. And I think that's what happened to this man. His vision was totally distorted. He only saw himself. He didn't look outward. He looked totally inward. And a lot of times as we look at people who have a lot of things, and even though they focus their lives on themselves, we find that society to a great extent honors those individuals. Either puts them on a pedestal, but they do honor the very types of people sometimes that God would call a foolish one. This man would perhaps have been farmer of the year in his county or his area. Look at that man. Look at what he's done this year. And yet in God's eye, God saw an entirely different picture. He saw one who had his priorities mixed up. He wasn't putting first things first in his life. I want to look at some mistakes this man made. Some mistakes that this man made. This man forgot God. Throughout this whole thing, Jesus is talking about covetousness. He's talking about this rich man. And this rich man again and again and again says that or indicates that everything that has been done, the great crops and these big barns, they're all done because of me. I'm the one that should get the glory. Now, he doesn't boast. He doesn't give God thanks. We see nothing to that extent in here. He thought of himself as a self-made man. He obtained his wealth by himself. And so he forgot, though, that God furnished the land that he cultivated. God furnished the seed that he planted in the land that he cultivated. God gave the water which gave him the increase in his crops. And in any intelligence and ability he had was God-given. And yet the man looked totally inward rather than looking to God. There are a number of verses in the Bible that speak of our need to look to God and not forget God. In Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, Jeremiah says, "It's not in man to direct his own steps." Jeremiah 10:23. And in the context or within the scriptures here, Luke 12 and verse 21, writer Luke records what Jesus said, "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." He should have been rich toward God, what I gather from that, rather than laying up treasures for himself. In the 27th verse, of this same chapter 27 through 31. He should have trusted in God. If we go back to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said to those who only trusted in themselves to consider the lily of the fields, how they grow. That God takes care of them. Jesus was a prime example of looking toward God, of not forgetting who He was, as the prime example of doing God's will, even to the very end. Even in that last week when He finally could say, "My hour has come." As He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the disciples had fallen asleep. Much was going to be happening in the next few hours. But they could not stay there or be there with Him and pray with Him. But His prayer was a very hard prayer. And He prayed that if possible the cup that He was to face, the sacrifice that He was to make upon the cross, His life, if that could pass from Him, He prayed that it would. Nevertheless, He told God, "Not as I will, but as Thou wilt." So this rich man didn't have any of that attitude. He had the attitude of, I'm going to get this, I'm going to put it in my barns, and boy, I'll be set. But he forgot God. He forgot God. In James chapter 4, verse 13 through 15, turn with me. James chapter 4, 13 through 15. There's a warning there to those of us who might say, "Well, you know, tomorrow I'm going to do this," or "These are my plans for tomorrow." And we need to have plans for tomorrow, but we need to keep God within those plans, to have our priorities set according to what God's purpose for us would be. Here's what James says in verse 13 of chapter 4. "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain." James says, "I caution you. You don't know what shall be on the morrow. God does. God does. For what is your life?" You know, a lot of times this is read at a funeral. It needs to be read. It needs to be read earlier. We need to read it throughout our lives. "What is your life?" He said, "It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. As far as our lifespan, considering eternity," he says, "it's just for a short period of time." And he says, "rather than say that I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to buy and I'm going to sell, I'm going to get gain," he said, "you ought to say," verse 15, "if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." And then in verse 16, he concludes what is happening. He suggests what is happening in the thinking of these individuals. "But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil." This man in Luke chapter 12 was rejoicing in his boasting, wasn't he? He could do nothing but boast of himself. So he forgot God, but also he forgot the purpose of his labor. He forgot the purpose of his work. He thought only of himself. He needed to ask why. Why do I have what I have? What for what purpose? Well, we read this morning from 1 Timothy, verse chapter 5, verse 8. That if we don't provide for our own, then we're worse than an infidel. So we, first of all, need to provide for our own families. This man apparently was doing that. He was providing for his own. But also in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, I'll turn there too. I have these in my notes, but let's turn there. Ephesians 4:28. Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he gives them a number of instructions, exhortations here in these verses surrounding this verse. Verse 28, he said, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." But notice when the early church came into existence, when there was a need from the other families, the other people that were there in Jerusalem, the other Christians there, when there was a need, they made sure that that need was met. They made sure that that need was met. They didn't wait, you know, for several weeks. In chapter 6, there was a need that arose because of the Grecian widows not getting taken care of in what they referred to as the daily ministration, likely feeding them and helping them out whatever way they needed. The apostles had the church take care of that immediately. They didn't wait a week, they didn't wait till the next business meeting or the next meeting of elders and deacons or whatever. They said, this needs to be taken care of. So this man forgot the purpose of his labor. And as we make that, make our living, we need to remember the purpose for which we work. We work to help to spread the gospel, 1 Thessalonians 2 and 9. Paul said that a number of times he made tents. That was his profession. And many times as he was preaching, he continued to make tents. In Colossians 3 and verse 5, as we consider the purpose of this man's labor, him not really considering it but forgetting it, keep in mind that initially Jesus is talking about and said he was going to be talking about covetousness. That's the subject. In Colossians 3 and verse 5, we see that covetousness is considered along with many other sins that we would consider, quote, big sins. Whereas sometimes covetousness, maybe we don't think of as being a big sin. That's one of those small ones. A man by the name of W.M. Taylor says that his explanation of covetousness. He said, covetousness is not simply the desire for possessions of property. It is the desire of having those possessions just for the sake of having it. Covetousness. This man forgot God. This man forgot the purpose of his work, purpose of his labor. But also he forgot his fellow man. We don't have much in the scriptures, in the verses here, that says he helped or didn't help others. The only thing we can go by is indicated by Jesus' conclusions that this man laid up treasure for himself. He was only interested in himself. A person who is totally interested in himself will not see the needs of others. It's difficult to have that foresight, to have the perception or have the ability to perceive the needs of others when an individual is amassing things simply for himself or herself. And still the Bible says that pure religion and undefiled before God is this, to visit the fathers and widows in their affliction. James 1:27. To help others. To help those that are in need. Whether it be by taking care of foster children, or whether it's sending money to somebody that has a home where they're taking care of children in their home, helping people with the various hurricanes that are soon to come again, by the way. Through our disaster relief effort that's not too many miles away, that's an excellent way to remember a fellow man. This man enjoyed success in every way, but he failed to help others to try to succeed in overcoming hunger, to succeed in overcoming sickness, to succeed in overcoming loneliness or any of those things that would bother them. And this he failed miserably. Jesus said in Matthew 22 and 39 that the second of the great commandments is to love one's neighbor as thyself. To love one's neighbor as thyself. We studied the parable of the Good Samaritan, and we saw there that the lesson was compassion. Word, it means to see all around another's needs, to have compassion. The idea not of just sympathy, but empathy, to put ourselves in in their position. A lot of times when we read this and it talks about the parable of the rich fool, we look at them, maybe I say I'm foolish at times, but couldn't be talking to me because I'm not rich. And yet in this country, it's according to what you compare it to. According to the folks that live out there in those $500,000 houses that I don't know where they get their money from to build them, but out in Brentwood and out in Franklin, I look in the papers now. Those houses are just going for outrageous sums of money. Well, compared to them, we're not rich. But compared to people in other countries, even those of us who might be on fixed income would be rich compared to them. We read the paper a lot of times and maybe get aggravated, those of us who have retired or are considering retirement, at how much money sometimes they say that you got to have in the United States to retire and take care of yourself. And if you think about that too long, you'll have problems. But we have a much higher cost of living and we have a much higher standard of living in this country. Many would give everything they have just to have what we have. That's the reason, though we may not like it at times, the reason the Hispanics come across the border. We have so much here, and they would just like to get in on the lower end of that. Right or wrong, that's what they would like. As we look at this a foolish man, what else did he forget? He forgot God, he forgot the purpose of his labor, he forgot his fellow man. I think one thing he forgot, and it's brought home to him very forcefully, he forgot time. God doesn't measure time like we measure time. This man thought he had unlimited time. Look in verse 19. He said, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. He was thinking of many years. That was his plan. That's what James warned about over there in James 4 in verses 13 and following. This man thought he had unlimited time, but God said, your time is limited. Luke 12:20, this night. That would have been a father's thought from the mind of this man. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. He had barns enough, he had goods enough, but where are the stored years for that man? God had allowed him to have an abundance of crops, to build an abundance of barns, but as to the abundance of time, God drew the line. God drew the line. Well, what are some lessons that we can learn? We can learn a lot from just what we've talked about here and just looking at this man's selfishness, this man's covetousness. But as we look at our lives, and I think Paul did this in 1 Corinthians 4, he thought of himself as being a steward for God, regardless of whether it's the possessions that we have or whether it's the talents that we have, our abilities. That which we have is from God. God is the actual owner of it all. Psalm 50 and verse 12, the writer says, for the world is mine, speaking on behalf of God, the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Now this man wasn't dependent upon God. He was totally dependent upon himself. And a lot of times I think that's why it's very difficult to reach people for Christ today. An individual who's totally dependent upon himself, who depends totally on himself, is not going to need a Savior. He's not going to need somebody to pray to because he can take care of himself. Or at least that's what he thinks, and that's what this man thought. We're totally dependent upon God. We owe him everything. We serve him as stewards of the possessions he's given to us. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from God. Romans 4:14-12 says, one of these days we will give an account of the deeds that are done in our bodies. 1 Corinthians 3:9, Paul said, we are laborers together with God. Luke 12:15 says, we must take heed and beware of covetousness. Take heed and beware of covetousness. How foolish this man was, at least when God came into the picture. Had Jesus not included that, had Jesus not given us the meaning of this particular parable, I wonder if we would have gotten it. Not the first reading, probably. This man forgot God. He forgot the purpose of his labor. He forgot his fellow man and the fact that those who are in need are to be thought about and helped. And he forgot time. He forgot time. God said unto him, "Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?" All that stuff stored in the barn is going to go to his heirs. His boys, his girls, his wife, they're going to inherit. You won't get a dime's worth of use out of any of that. Tonight, let us not be like this foolish man in this parable was. Jesus said the lesson is this: so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. We'll continue our teachings and our lessons on the parables the next time that we meet together. We appreciate your attention tonight and your presence. Come back and be with us on Wednesday night, where we're studying in the book of Acts chapter 4 and 5. And as we study about the beginning of the church in Jerusalem, as we see the Apostle Peter talking about the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ and how meaningful that was in those early years of the church, and that's what they focused on in their preaching. Tonight, if you're here and not a Christian, but you had studied God's Word on your own, or you studied with someone else and you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, why not confess that before this group tonight? Repenting of your sins. Jesus said, repent or perish. To be baptized for the remission of those sins, just as they did so in the New Testament, in the book of Acts. To rise from baptism to walk in newness of life, a new creature in Christ. If you're a Christian and you desire prayers on your behalf, wish to rededicate your life to Christ. You can do that tonight as we stand, as we say.